Open your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee.
Yes.
Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek that good.
Yes.
Our Father, bless now the reading of your words. We do pray for the peace of Jerusalem today. They certainly are undergoing tribulation. Nothing new for them, but certainly it is intense at this moment. And we do pray for Israel.
Help.
Bless, I pray now, in these services this week, do for your people here,
yes,
that is good in your eyes,
please,
and get glory here in our midst. I pray unto yourself. I do pray that you would revive your people. Do that only you can do,
yes,
and we'll be grateful, and we'll praise your name for it. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
It occurs to me that one of the reasons that we do not see revival is because people do not want revival. I realize people pray for revival. I put that in air quotes for those of you that were not looking. They pray and say, Lord, send revival.
Yeah.
But they don't want it because it would be inconvenient. Because if the Lord were to send revival, it would change the way we live our lives. And we would just be front and blunt about it. Most of us do not want our lives to change. We want to live our lives pretty much the way we live them already and want to continue to live them. And we do not want our lives inconvenienced.
Right.
So we do not really want revival. Now, revival, and I've not read what is printed in the bulletin, so I'm going to give you a somewhat David Parker definition of revival. Revival is a renewal of a right relationship with the Lord. Now, I don't know how long it has been or what your current relationship is with the Lord. I mean, I know you come to church, and I know most of you are very faithful to church. I do not know what your personal relationship is with the Lord.
Right.
I do not know that. No way I can know that. As a matter of fact, I sometimes have a problem with my own personal relationship with the Lord. I had a pastor one time that would make the statement, if there ever was a time that you were closer to the Lord than you are now, then you're backslidden. If ever you walked closer with the Lord than you walk with Him now, then you are not close enough to the Lord.
Amen.
And so, I would say that we probably find ourselves at times, and if not at this current time, we do find ourselves at times in the same condition that the church at Ephesus found itself in. That we have strayed from that first love. And we find ourselves in need of revival. We need a renewal of that right relationship with our Lord. One way we can tell if we have a right relationship with the Lord is by checking and seeing what our relationship is with the church. Mm-hmm. And Brother Ron called Friday and asked me about preaching these two services today. And so I didn't have a lot of time to think and to pray about what I would preach today. But this kept coming to mind. I was glad when they said unto me,
yes,
let us go into the house of the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
And thinking about the relationship with the church and how it connects and how it applies to this matter of revival. And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, is revival and the Lord's house. How are we going to have revival unless we have a right relationship with the Lord's house? Now, I'm going to say this. I'm just going to say it plain. And this is just, we've got a pretty good crowd here this morning. But we are like most Baptist churches. We have a pretty fair Sunday morning crowd, but our Sunday night crowd is not as big as our Sunday morning crowd. And then our Monday night crowd, unless we have visitors from other churches, won't be as big as our Sunday night crowd. That is a crying shame, and it says that we need revival.
Yes.
I pastored a church in the 1980s in a little community called Hinchcliffe, Mississippi. Hinchcliffe, Mississippi had a population of about 25. We had an average Sunday morning attendance of about 90 on Sunday morning. We had an average Sunday night attendance of about 90. And an average Wednesday night attendance of about maybe 85, because we had maybe five that had to work nights. You say, what happened? We had the Lord move through and do some things in the church.
Yes.
Now, that was an unusual situation. I will admit that. It was a very unusual situation. It doesn't happen that way everywhere, and I'm sad that it doesn't. I really am.
Absolutely.
And it's not been that way everywhere I've been. I wouldn't say that it is. But I will say this. It should be.
Yes.
Why? We should all say, as the psalmist did, I was glad.
Yes.
I was glad when they said unto me,
yes,
let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, that same church today. This is 2024. That same church today, if they have probably 5 to 7 people attend services there, they're doing well. Now that's a tragedy.
Oh yes.
It's a tragedy. And I don't know, I can't go into what all is going on there. I don't know. I've not been there since 1987. But now, I want to say to you today, I'm going to give you, Brother Von Boulder, you say, I'll give you 3 things we're going to have. Yeah. 3 things we're going to have. First of all, I want to talk to you about the pleasure of the Lord's house.
Yes.
I was glad. I believe that the psalmist liked to go to church. Don't you? I want to say that ought to carry over, and I believe it does carry over, to God's people like to go to church. What's your name? Back there on back. I know you're a lovings guy back there. He told me this morning, he said, Henry loves to go to church. And that ought to be said about all of God's children. That we ought to love God's house. Isn't that right, Brother Luke? We ought to love to go to church. I like to go to church.
Yes.
Now, I don't know, but I probably go to church more than anybody in this room today. I go to church. And it's not a hardship. I like to go to the house of God. And here the psalmist said, I was glad.
Yes.
I was glad. So in Psalm 26:8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. I love it. Now there are some things that I really like. I like food. Can y'all tell I like food? I like food. I do. I like your dumplings. I had some dumplings in a restaurant. They were just about as good as yours. I love food. I like to eat. I do. But I tell you what, I love church. I love spending time with my friends and my family. I do. There are some things in this life, there are some things that I love. But I love to go to the house of God. I love coming to Mark Craig to be able to come to Grace Baptist Church. I don't know if y'all like knowing or not, but I like being around you folk. Jesus said, love the brethren.
Yes.
He said, this is the way that this world around you is going to know that you are my disciples, is if you have love one to another. Love being around one another. Love the church. How in the world can you say you love the church if you don't even want to come to church? Mm-hmm. Hey, fellas, you're not going to be able to prove to your wife you love her if you don't even like to go home at night. I know some that don't. Psalm 42:4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with a multitude. I kept holding that.
Amen.
So I wanted to. Do you want to go to church? Do you get up on Sunday morning with, it's time to go to church again. Oh, Lord have mercy. I wanted to go fishing. It's such a beautiful day. I wanted to go fishing, but I guess we've got to go to church. No, that's not the right attitude toward the house of God. Psalm 116:19, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
I was glad when they said unto me. I was glad. Happy. I remember old Brother O'Neill Shelton. You remember Brother O'Neill? Old Brother O'Neill standing with this guitar, and he might hit a note on it and talk for 15 minutes, hit another note and talk another 5 minutes. But then before he'd ever get to around to singing a song, he'd lean back and he'd real big and he'd say, I like happy. He was just glad to be in church.
Amen.
Glad to be in the house of God. Are you glad that you're in church?
Thank you, Lord.
Are you glad to be with God's people? Are you glad that you get to hear the Word of God expounded and preached? Brother Bobby Thompson showed me a passage in the Word of God. Paul goes, I just wish I had a big old plaque of it on my wall. That's the way you ought to be about the things of God. Well, why don't we have the Bible? We don't want it. We don't want it. It gets in our way. Church gets in our way. Well, number two. Not only the pleasure of the Lord's house, but the people of God's house.
Yes.
He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go.
Yeah.
You see, it's there are a they and an us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, those people down there at the house of God. Those people, and there was a lot said in Sunday school this morning that I wanted to comment on, but I just kept my mouth shut. Sometimes those people down at the house of God don't act right. Well, now that's something. Sometimes they say things they ought not say. They get stuff started that they ought not get started. They say things that are out of the way, and they say things that'd be better off if they just kept their mouth shut about. I remember one time I was an assistant pastor in the church, and the pastor and I had been out on visitation. We got back to the church, we were sitting in his car, and he said, well, said, I hear you're trying to get me run off. I said, is that right? He said, that's what I hear. I said, let's just go to whoever's saying that. Yeah. Let's go to their house and let's talk to them about it. And he just kind of reared back and laughed. He said, I know there's nothing to it. So just forget about it. Well, I mean, that's what you do. If somebody says something, you go to them. If you and them alone, talk to them about it. Straighten it out. And well, he knew that it wasn't so. And then, so he said, let's just forget about it. But, you know, sometimes folks will say things. They got no business saying. They'll accuse you of things. I got a phone call one time while I was pastoring the church. He said somebody said that you're going to one of the women in the church. And I said, is that right? I said, well, we better get that straightened out. So my wife and I went and talked to that woman and her husband, told them what was being said, and I said, you let me take care of it. I got in the pulpit, I took care of it.
Yes.
And ended it. I said, 5 more years, nothing else was ever said about it. But you sometimes folks will do stuff. But what do you do? You don't run off and leave the church. You don't run off and quit on God or stuff like that. Sometimes people are just idiots. And if an idiot's an idiot, if they're an idiot, you just have to let them be idiots. You can't do anything about it. Just keep on walking with God and doing what's right.
Sure.
But I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Just go ahead and walk with God and do what's right.
Amen.
Talk about that some in Sunday school this morning. Sometimes people try to get stuff started. And sometimes they do it out of malice, sometimes out of ignorance. But no matter why they do it, you walk with God anyway. And what do they do? Well, they bring others. They said unto me, let us go. So they bring others. I had an aunt one time, bless her heart. I don't know whether she was washing or hanging out. I'm not sure if she did. But she told her neighbor, she said, you need to go down there where David preaches. You need to go down there to the church where he's pastoring. Said, if you want to go to church to hear the word of God, you need to go down there. So they did. They came. The whole family came in, walked in. Praise God. They came in there and said, well, where's Sybil? And I said, she don't go to church here. No, she went to the church of God. She didn't come to. She didn't invite them to come to her church. She invited them to go somewhere they knew. She knew that they'd get the word of God preached.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand stuff like that. Yep. But hey, they were glad when they said it.
Yes.
But it wasn't that us go, so did you go? Uh-huh. But anyhow, they came. But I was glad when they said, let us go to the house. But sometimes people are out there and they are trying to tell folks where they need to go to hear the word of God preached. But the psalmist said, I was glad when they said. There are people out there trying to tell people to get to the house of God. And we need to be some of those right in heaven.
Amen.
Yeah, we have been given instructions in the Word of God to go out and bring people in. We sang a song a while ago, said bring them in.
Right.
Bring them in from the fields of sin. People all around us dying without God. Now, I know that God's in charge. I know God's on the throne. I know it's not by might. I know it's not by power. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I understand that. But that does not relieve us of our responsibilities. And he said, I was glad when they see. And so these are the people of God at the house of God saying, come in. But he said, let us go. Let us go into the house. They bring others. They said, Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is let us go. Psalm 42, verse number 4. Fellowship. Psalm 55:14. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company.
Yes, yes.
We go together. We go together to the house of God. I'm glad it's not just by yourself. I know that some of these, I've seen some of these TV shows, some of these movies, where they just go in and they're all by themselves, you know, sitting over praying by themselves, and nobody else around them, and then a priest will come and sit down beside them or whatever, and ask them if they can pray with them, or they'll go in and they'll sit in one of them little booths, you know, shut off from everybody else and try to talk to somebody in another little booth next to them, but they don't have anybody. Don't have anybody. They can't worship together. They don't worship with anybody. I'm glad we can come in together and
yes.
we can worship the Lord together.
Amen.
We can fellowship together. I like fellowship.
Yes.
Fellowship. If you want to read about fellowship, read over in 1 John chapter number 1. I love that chapter. That's a beautiful chapter on fellowship. I love to preach that chapter. Coming into the house of God together. The people of the house of God.
Yes.
We are the people of His pasture.
Yes.
So we see the pleasure of the Lord's house. And we see the people of the house of God. I want to notice, and I want to talk most about the potentate of the Lord's house. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is the Lord's house.
Yes.
Now, why is it so important that we have revival? It's not because of you. It's not because of me. It's because of Him.
Amen.
It's because of who He is. It's because of what He's done for us. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because He came and gave Himself for us. It's because of not only that He came and died, and He did. He died for us. He gave His life. He died on that cross, was buried, rose again the third day for our sins. He did that for us. But He walks every day to lead and to guide us. He is our advocate. He walks beside us and helps us every day. Now, if it were not for Him, there'd be no way that we could live in this world. Now, let's look at Him for just a little bit. The house of the Lord. Now, it's interesting to me that in our text, that the Lord, L-O-R-D, is all caps,
uh-huh.
All capital letters. This is Jehovah,
yes.
The all-existing one, the self-existing one. Now, how is He described by some of the Bible or biblical writers? Moses in Exodus 15:11 describes Him this way. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee, O glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?
Bye-bye.
There is none like unto our God.
Amen.
Now, when you get to thinking about Him and who He is and whose house this is, how can we treat His house the way we do? I wonder how we can treat it so frivolously, so lightly, as to say, well, you know, I don't think I'm going to go to church today.
I've got some other things I want to do. We've got a fishing tournament, or they've got a sale on down at the Walmart, or I don't think they run sales at Walmart, but they do run sales other places. But they've got a sale on, and that sale starts at midnight, and we've got to be there, and we won't be able to get to church. Well, they do that once a year at Walmart, don't they? We'll do that Black Friday jump. But we got all this going on, and we won't be able to make it to church because we've got this, and we've got that, and we've got the other thing going on. We're just not being able to make it to church. Now, what's more important? This one that Moses describes? Think about it. I've only got 7 days in a week. I have to work all these other days. And Sunday is the only day that I've got to do what?
Yeah.
Why, if you wanted to take off work to do something, you'd do it. Don't tell me you wouldn't do it because you have. But when it comes to the Lord's Day, oh no, that's just an extra day that you've got in the week. You're going to find out one day that it was not just an extra day you had in the week.
That's right.
You see, that was his day.
Yes.
That was his day he required. That was his day that he required that you set aside. You ought to have been happy to give that day to him.
Yes.
Let me rephrase that. That ought to have been a day you were happy to give back to him because it was his already. You could probably have done whatever it was you wanted to do on Saturday. This is the Lord's day. And Moses had glowing recommendations of this Lord.
Yes, he did.
What did Solomon say about him in 2 Chronicles 6:14? And said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all thy hearts. Solomon said, you keep every promise you've ever made.
What about that?
How many promises have you made to him? Mm. How many times have you promised, Lord, from now on we're going to tithe? From now on we're going to go to church every Sunday? From now on we're going to... Oh, come on, how many times have you promised him? And how many times have you lied? But God keeps covenant.
Yes.
Every promise he's ever made, he's kept.
That's what it says.
Every one of them. God's never let anybody down at any time. He's never let you down, not one time. Not one time has he ever let you down. Ever. Nor will he ever let you down. He's never let you down. What Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:6, for as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might.
Hey.
None more powerful than he is. He can do anything. He can meet every need that you've got.
Yes, sir.
And he has met every need I've ever had. Every need that I have found myself in some situations I could not have dug my way out of with a steam shovel. And he has met every need I've ever had.
Thank you, Lord.
How can I not give him one day out of the week? It doesn't make any sense, does it? Hey, if you can't give him time in the Lord's house, you'll never get revival. I promise you that. But what did Jesus himself have to say? Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power.
Yes, sir.
It's given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hey, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
Our Lord. Jesus asked the question,
who do men say that I am? But then he said, who do ye say that I am? The potentate.
Yes, he is.
Of the Lord's house.
Yes.
He is the all-powerful one of the Lord's house. This is the Lord's house. This is the Lord's house. Now I realize this is not the temple in Jerusalem. No. No, that we don't worship in the temple, but we do worship in the church. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the all-powerful one in the church. This is his church. This is the Lord's house. And we are told in Psalm 64, verse number 4, I believe it is, happy is the man that thou choosest to approach unto thee to dwell in thy courts. We are those whom he has chosen. Those of us who have been saved, born again by the Spirit of God, we have been chosen
absolutely
by him. And we dwell in his courts. We are God's people, that peculiar people that he has chosen. But is it too much for us? Is it too much for us to give ourselves fully, totally into his hands? Now, I know most of you come to church faithfully. Every time you're able. I know some of us, we're getting old. We're getting old, and our bodies rebel against us sometime, and just physically we're just not able. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. But are we to the point in our lives that we are yielding ourselves?
Help us.
Body, soul, and spirit into the hands of our God. Faithfully. If we're not glad when they say unto us, let us go into the house of our Lord, I say, no, we're not. Because our church is his body.
Amen.
And if we're not yielding as members of his body, then we're not subject to the head. Is that clear to everyone? Is that clear? Is that a clear statement?
I believe so.
If we're not subject to our head, then we're not happy. Let me see if I can make some kind of an illustration that'll make sense to you. Last October was a year ago. I began to have trouble walking across the road. I just give out of breath, just walking across the road. Went to the doctor and I found out that my heart was not yielding to my head. I had a problem in my heart. It was not yielding to my head. I had three arteries in my heart that were blocked. The blood flow was not getting through like it should, and my heart and my head were not connecting properly. Therefore, my body could not function properly.
Yes.
I had to have surgery. They had to go in and bypass those arteries to make them function properly. And when they began to function properly, it took a little bit of therapy and what have you, but when they began to function properly, then my heart and my brain began to function properly again, and I began to get around and do what I had done before. Now,
as a part of the body, if you are not functioning properly, then you are not connecting properly with your head, who is Christ. Therefore, the body is suffering.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Therefore, we cannot have revival unless you and the head reconnect. Everybody with me?
Yep.
Therefore, whatever spiritual surgical procedure needs to be undertaken, you need to yield to. That you may be able to say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, touch hearts, I pray. Do that is good in your sight, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.